Thank you for tuning in to Almy Community Baptist Church. This is our podcast. So glad that you're here. It's another Sunday morning, summertime in Tuolumne County. It's been nice and hot. Love it. I hope you're doing well this week. This week we're in Galatians chapter 5. It's one of my favorite places to be in the Bible. I love talking about the fruit of the Spirit. I love what it means to walk in the Spirit. And sometimes how difficult it is to do that. But we're loved by God who sent his Son to die for us. On a cross, he took my sins away so that I would be the righteousness of God, so that you would be the righteousness of God. It's not about what we do. It's not about the mistakes we make. It's about what we believe. And when we truly believe, then we have something. We start to live better and act better because we truly believe. I hope you enjoy this message. God bless you. We'll get started here in just a minute.
Can you download it?
Yes.
I mean, burn it onto a...
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think that you can. Yeah. I think it's protected in that regard. Okay, today we're in Galatians chapter 5. Last week, I think by next week I'm going to be standing again because I'm almost ready to ditch this chair. Last week we ended at chapter 4 with the story of Sarah and Hagar. Do you remember that? Her maidservant? I feel like I didn't make good sense of that story, and it's probably because I put it at the very end of my message. You know, and I look up and I go, oh man, it's like 3 minutes to 12 and I'm right in the middle. And I kind of rushed through it. And I was kind of mad at myself later when I listened to it that I had rushed through. So I want to start there. I want to talk about that story a little bit. The whole account of this story is one in which the things that are being done were done according to the flesh. That was the purpose of Paul telling this story, repeating it. You know, in fact, because he's struggling with this Galatian church. The Galatian church has the Judaizers come in and had convinced them to go back to the old ways. And I'm sure it must have been heavier than we know, but they were probably sacrificing and doing things in order to be saved. They were going back to follow the law, and it was wrong, and Paul was frustrated. You can even hear in chapter 5, his frustration continues. So he takes an Old Testament story to show them that you're walking in the flesh is what you're doing. That's what the whole account of the story of Sarah and Hagar is. And they're not walking according to God's will. Abraham and Sarah resorted to their own plan instead of trusting God and walking in the Spirit. No matter how long it took, God will work things out, but sometimes the timing isn't our timing. Have you ever been there? Have you ever rushed God and done things that probably wasn't God's plan, but you thought you were doing God's will and hoping that it was God's plan? We do that all the time. God's promise was for Abraham and Sarah to have a child. You can find this all in the book of Genesis. Probably start with about chapter 15 and go on from there. That child's name was to be Isaac. The wait is what they didn't know about. The wait was the problem. It was 25 years from the time God promised to give them a child to the time that Isaac was born. At that point now, Abraham's 100 years old and Sarah's 90. So I'm not putting them down, but just trying to figure out how we're going to make this happen, because God's obviously not doing his part, so let's do it this way. And so Sarah asked Hagar and Abraham to go in together and have a child, and this would be the child of promise. Oh, it was so wrong. As a result of yielding to the flesh, they invited all kinds of strife and difficulty into their house between the two women. Finally, Sarah said to Abraham, send this woman and her boy away. You can find that in Genesis 21. I want them out of here, she said. I'm done with this. It was wrong. We made a mistake. Get them out. Get them out. So God shows up and talks to Abraham and says, listen to your wife and send her away. So not only did it cause strife and trouble, serious family troubles, but there was another result of their efforts. And it's a little thing that we call the Middle East conflict. A whole nation of people. The Muslims call Abraham, Abraham. And they believe he's the father of their nation, just like the Jews believe that Abraham is the father of their nation because of these two boys. It was not God's plan. And when we start to walk in the flesh, we're going to get in the way of what God is planning on doing for us. We are sons and daughters. We need to know that. And that's why we choose to walk in the Spirit. I didn't say we choose to live perfect lives because none of you are going to be able to. I can't. But we still choose to walk in the Spirit. What do you mean walk in the Spirit? That sounds kind of holy. You know, like, what does that mean? You know, walk around like, you know, robes flying in the wind. No, walking in the Spirit is just trusting God. Believing that he is guiding your path. Knowing that he will make a way. When Christians choose to live by the flesh, doesn't mean you're not saved. But you choose to live by the flesh, the result is going to be strife and misery in your life. Strife and difficulty. That's what it's going to be. That's what it's going to bring. Oh, it may not come immediately. It might take some time for that strife to catch up to you, but trust me, it's coming. That's what happens when we walk. And that's what the story that the Apostle Paul was trying to explain to the Galatian church. You guys are creating all kinds of problems for yourself because you're not trusting God in what Jesus Christ had done for you. You're wanting to go back to the old ways. You want to go back to the old ways of worship. Now, we got to relate that to the church today. We don't have Judaizers in the church trying to convince us to sacrifice a lamb. That's not an issue for us. But we've walked away from our old lives, our past sins, the things that that George that used to live here, he's gone. And sometimes I'm tempted to bring him back. You know, to live the way that I want to live, that's not by walking in the Spirit, but walking in the flesh. So that's what we have to see when we read Galatians 5 is we ourselves are guilty of doing this, just like the Galatian church was. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Man, that alone should be the sermon. Christ has made it free. But he goes on to say, and do not entangle again with the yoke of bondage. So when we come to Jesus Christ, we've accepted him as our Lord and Savior. Things are going well. We've stopped drinking. We've stopped smoking. We stopped going with girls who do. You know, everything's going along really good. But then all of a sudden we decide that, hey, you know what? Maybe going back to the bar, I'm lonely tonight. Maybe that would be a better thing for me to do. You're walking back into your bondage. Right back up, you're opening the door for Satan to come back in and reinstall all the bondage that you were already in. Verse 2 says, indeed, I, Paul, say to you, if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. I'll address that in a second, but let's read verse 3. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. So I realize maybe there's some of you that don't understand truly what's being said. Circumcision was an outward sign for men that were sons of God. Now, I don't know how they did it as an outward sign. They all wore pants or something. I don't know. That was God's plan. It was his deal to be circumcised if you were a Jew and you were following the Most High God. Today, it's a sign, an inward sign. It's a circumcision of our heart because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Because we believe. By faith, we are the righteousness of God. Because we believe. Here in the U.S. and many other countries, we circumcise boys for personal hygiene and preventative health care. Paul was saying, if you get circumcised because of the Old Testament law, you're an adult now, and all of a sudden this Jew is telling you, hey, you need to be circumcised if you're going to be saved. Yeah, we believe in Jesus. Yeah, we believe in the cross, but you still have to be circumcised. You got to go to the doctor. You got to get circumcised. Paul is saying, that is absolutely wrong. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. He said, if you circumcise because of the Old Testament, then by all means, keep the whole law. And I promise you, you can't. Because you're not trusting in what Christ has done for you on the cross. Too often, we have a hard time believing that we're the righteousness of God because you know who you are. And I know who I am. I know the thoughts that I think. And sometimes I'll shake my head and I think, God, you call me the righteousness of God. Well, immediately when I'm feeling that way, I start saying, forgive me. Forgive me, Father, for rejecting the thoughts that I may be thinking, rejecting whatever it is that's causing me to feel that way. Verse 4 says, you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. I love that. You have fallen from grace. Notice the Apostle Paul didn't say, you've lost your salvation and you're going to hell. He didn't say that. You've fallen from grace. You're going to encounter all kinds of problems here in this life, in this world. I know that you believe in Jesus, but you went back to the old ways. You think that this, what you're doing is causing you to be saved, and it's not. What Jesus has done is what makes you saved. We know Paul is talking to the Galatian church and he's referring to the people that are turning away from the cross for what they thought was the benefit of the law. He so lovingly said, you have fallen from grace. For today's church, it's no different. When we return to our sinful nature, we return to the things we turned away from. That's what it's about. When we've turned away from God and we return to our sinful nature, when we return to our sin, we are estranged from Christ. We are. We're estranged from Him. And maybe if you feel like, you know what, God, you're just not there. You're not talking to me. I don't sense you. I don't feel you. You don't need to be looking at Him. You need to be looking at you and seeing potentially what it is that's causing this estrangement. Could it be the things you're watching on TV, the things you're looking at on a computer, anything in your life that is keeping you away from God? I want you to see Ephesians 4:18. He said, the Apostle Paul said this too. He said, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. I believe he was talking to Christians here. He wasn't talking to sinners. He was talking to Christians. He says, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. They're just not seeing it. They're just not seeing what it really is to walk in the Spirit. When we return to our sin, we are estranged from God. When we return to the law, as these people were, they were trying to please God by their own works of the law. Have you ever been there? Trying to please God. I'm doing this, God. I hope you're happy with me. I'm trying to please you. If I ever come to the place where I come and sit at this stool and preach to you on a Sunday morning, trying to please God, fire me. Please, do me a favor. Get me out of here. Because it has nothing to do with pleasing God. I do what I do as a result of what God has done for me. I want you to look at James 2:10-11. It says, for whoever shall keep the law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. See, there's a reason why we don't want to go back to the law. You're not going to be able to keep it. The whole point of the law, like the Apostle Paul has been telling us all through these chapters of Galatians, that the law was there as a tutor to show you what sin is, so that you would realize, I need a Savior. I can't do this. If I try to follow the law. Well, he goes on in verse 11, he said, for he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. You've broken the whole law, not just one. This liberty that we have, which comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ, gives us freedom from the power of sin. Now you have to live your life in such a way, James says, that proves that you expect to answer God someday for your actions. You know, if you're in the middle of a sinful behavior and you stop and thought about, well, if I was standing before God, what would he say about this? I think if we were to think of that way, we would probably back out of whatever it is we're doing. Live your life in such a way that we expect to answer to God. No believer will be able to excuse his sin, saying, I couldn't help it, God. You made me this way. I couldn't help it. Because the cross of Christ did away with all that bondage. We are under the law of liberty now. We're not under the law of Moses. Christ died for all of our sin. And you need to realize that you are free. Now, I'm not saying that when you sin, it's not going to bring problems into your life. Of course it is. We talked about that with Sarah and Hagar. It's going to create problems, issues in your life that you're going to deal with today in the present time. It's not changing your salvation, but it's certainly changing your life here on earth. Verse 5. For we through the Spirit eagerly await for the hope of the righteousness by faith. Now, I love that scripture too, but you have to understand the word hope isn't the Americanized hope. Man, I hope I go to heaven. Man, I hope I get a job. No, it's not that at all. It's absolute assurity. Absolute assurity is what this hope in the Greek actually means. Expectation of what is sure. That's the hope that he's talking about. So we should say, for we through the Spirit eagerly await for the absolute assurity of the righteousness by faith, that I am the righteousness of God, even though I didn't act too righteous today. Father, forgive me. And maybe I should go ask that person to forgive me. Verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. So he's going back again because they were being convinced that some of these men who joined the church were being told they had to go get circumcised. Paul's telling them, that means nothing. You need to have faith through love in Christ. Verse 7, he said, you run well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Well, he knew that. He knew who was hindering them. They were right there inside the church. But he's talking to them as a friend would. You know, who's convincing you of these crazy things? Who's talking to you? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. We know that it is not God. It does not come from God. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Do you guys understand that? You ladies that are cooks understand it. A little leaven, it leavens the whole lump. If we allow sinful nature to come into the church and we condone it. We're as guilty as those that are in their sinful nature. And eventually, like a cancer, it will leaven the whole lump. We have to be very careful. Verse 10, I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind. But he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. I'm glad I'm not on the other side of that one. The Apostle Paul is saying, hey, whoever it is that's spreading these lies, whoever's troubling you. Verse 11, and I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. Do you guys understand what he's saying? If I preach circumcision and you have to go back and adhere to the old law, then what good is what I'm preaching? The cross was for nothing. Jesus died for nothing, is what he's saying. You have to understand. Verse 12 said, I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. Yes, amen. Verse 13 says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use the liberty as opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. We've been called to liberty. We talked about last week that, you know, there is no law against us. It stands against us. You don't have to worry. You're not breaking the law. You're not doing anything wrong. But we have to walk in the Spirit. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Do you realize how difficult that statement really is? You got a neighbor that you can love as yourself? It's a lot more than we think. Verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Man, and that's the truth. And I praise God. Tony and I get together and we talk all the time about how sweet this church is, because there is no biting and devouring. There is nobody talking, you know, and spreading rumor. We're so blessed. I don't want anybody new to come in. They might be bad. And we can't be that way either. But we have a wonderful thing here where there is none of that going on. Verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're walking in the Spirit, when that show that's not appropriate for you to be on in your house, it'll convict you and you will turn the channel. That's walking in the Spirit. Simple as that. The Spirit will convict you and you'll say, that's not good for me. That's not helping. That's just desensitizing me even more. Verse 17, For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Oh, I think the Apostle Paul is being pretty bold there. You don't get to do the things that you wish, because I know who you are. I know the things you're thinking. I know the things you want to do. But I'm telling you, it's not worth it. Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So praise God. If we make a mistake, we're able to say, Father, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me. Clean that way of thinking. Change me. Change me, Father. And that's where he has something to work with. I want you to see Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. The Apostle Paul again says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do. I just love the Apostle Paul was being completely honest. He was taking his heavenly robes off here, showing us who he really is. He said, I do not understand what I do. Verse 16, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. I have to do the law in order to make up for what I've done. And I'm admitting that that's what I have to do. Instead of just say, Jesus, forgive me, change me, help me. Verse 17, and it is, and as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin that's living in me. It's pretty heavy, guys. You got to think about that. It's a sin that's living in you. Verse 18, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. He was being so absolutely honest with us. He says in verse 19, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. He's being completely honest. Verse 20. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin who's living in me that does it. Now he's not trying to give you an excuse. It's not at all. But it's that sinful nature who's in you. In other words, he's not telling you, okay, you're a sinner. Now you've lost your salvation. You've given up on the whole thing because you've gone out and you had an affair. You're a Christian. You know how wrong it is. You know the devastation you've caused. You're still saved. It's not him who did it. It's a sin nature that resides, and we need to kill that sin nature that resides in each one of us. In Galatians 5:19, let's go back there. Now the works of the flesh are evident. You guys ready? You want to see the evidence? Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. No, we're not done yet. Envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you time past, that he who practices such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Can I read that to you again out of another version? I know it's you're looking at all the sin, but there's a point. Galatians 5:19-21 out of the New International Version. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. Debauchery is like you just can't quit. You can't stop. You have this sinful nature and you just can't, like lasciviousness. Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, disaccord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Notice how he said it, at least this translation, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I guarantee you, if you were living like that, you wouldn't be sitting here because you wouldn't be able to stand to hear me talk. And you would probably run out of here going, I'm not going to list that guy. It's all bad. It's all bad. Well, yeah, it is all bad because this is how you're living your life. It's not falling into sin, making a mistake. All right, you had four beers. You drove your car. You got a DUI. I am sorry. I love you, brother. Let me hug you. I'll give you a ride to work next week. That's where we should be. Not condemning people because they've made a mistake. Oh, you can give them a thunk in the back of the head. That's fair. That's fair. I talked to a young man at the jail this last week, and he needed to have me call his father. Normally, I don't make phone calls for inmates, but I called his dad. Had a great conversation. The conversation was better with his dad than it was with the inmate. I talked to his dad. I said, your son needs your help, and here's how you can help him. And he goes, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. I needed to know. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to help him. And I said, "This, you call these people and you can get him some help." And just before he goes, I goes, oh, by the way, sir. He goes, yeah. And I said, I thunked him in the back of the head for you. He said, oh, praise God. I'm glad somebody did. Because it was stupid. Galatians 5:22, I want you to see it. This is where we're at. Now we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Amen. So let's talk about that for a minute. I got a few minutes that I can spare. You notice that it says the fruit of the Spirit. It didn't say the fruits of the Spirit. I believe completely, entirely that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And if you truly love, then you're going to have all these things. You're going to have the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the kindness, and the goodness. Now you've learned how to love. You have forgiveness, gentleness, self-control. Against so such there is no law. Well, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, it's the same way that God made this apple. What would this apple be without water? Shriveled up prune. It requires water. And God had to create this skin over it to keep the meat where it would be fresh. When we eat it, it would be fresh. It had to be in the skin. Without the skin, you wouldn't have an apple. What about this little core that kept it attached to the tree? Without that, it would never exist. Or the seeds that are inside of the apple to reproduce. The gift of the Spirit is love. And when you learn how to love, when you have that gift of Spirit, it comes with joy and peace and long-suffering. Oh, long-suffering, Pastor, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, come on. I long-suffer with her all the time. Oh, sorry. Did I say that out loud?
No.
No, I did not. So, I know she puts up a lot of long-suffering with me. That I know. We learn how to do that. We learn how to love the people the way they need to be loved and have gentleness and self-control. Self-control. Do I need to say that one again? Self-control. Think about that one. Yeah, you got to have self-control. Because against such there is no law. To stop and not say the thing that you really, your gut wants to say, but you know that it's not right. Verse 24, and those who are Christ are crucified, have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. I am in the process of crucifying my flesh. We all are, to some point and some degree. We all are. And we have to learn how to do that. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we say we're a Christian, why don't we start acting like one? You know, to those people that don't know, you don't see them in church. You know, you see them at the grocery store or maybe the job or wherever you go. Do people know you're a Christian? Can people tell? You know, every once in a while, you know, you get the opportunity, you got one item in your store, and I mean, you got 10 items, and there's a lady behind you only has one, and you step aside and go ahead and go first. I think they probably have a good idea that you're at least a good person. Oh, well, thank you. Well, God bless you. Do people know that you're a Christian? Especially those that you work with, the ones that are close to you, your neighbors. Let us not become conceited, verse 26, provoking one another or envying one another. Man, let us not try to compare ourselves to what the other preachers in town are doing. See, for me, that's one of my biggest problems, is trying to compare myself to somebody else. I see some preacher on TV and I go, man, I wish I could preach like that. And the Lord speaks to me, he goes, you never will. That's not you. That's not who you are. Stop trying to be him. Stop trying to do it like him. Trust me. And stop worrying about what other people are saying, other people are doing. Be a Christian. Do what you know is right. If we would take just a few minutes every morning and put our nose into the Bible, just for a few minutes, it could change our day. By reading a little bit of the living Word of God, getting it in us before we go off and start our day. It's the little things that make the biggest difference in our lives. Oh, but we got it. You know, that's what we think. We know, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Let me go see what's happening bad in the world. I turn the news on. Then I wished I hadn't watched it. Isn't that the way it goes? Tony, would you go ahead and come on back up? We need to develop in the fruit of the Spirit. We know all the works of the flesh. We don't even have to go over those. But we need to know the fruit of the Spirit. I did a sermon series years ago, and I took each one apart. Sermon on joy, a sermon on peace, a sermon on long-suffering. Maybe it's time I do that again. A sermon on kindness, goodness, faithfulness. We need to understand how we are to live. How can you do what you don't know? How can you possibly live and act like a Christian and you don't know? That's why we come to church, to learn and to grow. And to begin to crucify the flesh. Well, what do you mean, Pastor, about crucifying the flesh? I mean saying no to your flesh. No. I'm not going to drink that. I'm not going to smoke that. No, I'm not going to go there. Whatever the case may be. No, I'm not going to watch that on TV. I know it's just simply not appropriate. No. No. That's what living by the Spirit is about. And if you don't have that common knowledge, that ability to say no, it becomes very difficult. That's why we come to church. That's why we serve God. He is a living and loving God. Let me pray for you before we go. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be in your word today. Father, I pray that each person here under the sound of my voice and all those who are going to listen on the podcast later will say, I need to walk in the Spirit. I need to develop in the fruit of the Spirit. Help me with joy, peace, and long-suffering. Those are the prayers that you're ready to answer. You're waiting for us to say, I need your help. Teach me, lead me, guide me. Father, we ask you to do these things. In Jesus' holy name we pray.
Amen.